Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 65. Awesome to be back. It's so good when you've taken a break from something to be back and be super consistent. So glad we have another show this week. I'm excited. I will introduce our guest in a moment. I just wanted to mention, as I've been mentioning at the beginning of the podcast, I am kicking off an exciting new program this year, and I am excited to share it with you. It's called the Coworking Startup School, and it expands on the flight group concept, which I started this year and has been going really well. So the Coworking Startup School is for anyone starting a coworking space, just like the name implies. The format will be a one-day virtual class that gives you a comprehensive overview of everything you need to know about opening. Okay, maybe not everything, but the major buckets that you need to get your head around to open a co-working space, from determining your product mix to identifying the tech and tools to knowing how to staff. And then we follow that full day session up with three power hour workshops to get some other big to-dos checked off your list. And these will be interactive with homework to actually help you move through some of the steps in the process, which I think is super important to help you feel like you're actually getting things done and getting the support you need while you do them instead of sort of frantically trying to figure them out all on your own. There's no need for that. And then after the courses are completed, all participants will join a flight group for the remainder of the year to continue to get monthly dedicated expert and peer support on launching and growing the business that you've created. And then we'll also do a one-day event for all Coworking Startup School participants. And there will be more news about that shortly. So if you'd like more details about the program, you can text the phrase CS School for Coworking Startup School, that's CS School, to 44222. And I'll also include a link to get the info in the show notes at everythingcoworking.com/65. Now to introduce my speaker for today. She gives a great background on her story, so I won't share too much, but I'm super excited to have Jamie Orr join me to share her journey on opening and buying a building and operating a space in South Lake Tahoe, which is also a resort town with a population of only 20,000 people. So this will hit on a number of topics that I think a lot of listeners are thinking about. Maybe buying a building, what is it like to open in a smaller market? How do you test to make sure the market can support the demand? And then how do you get engaged with the community? So she's going to touch on all of those topics, and we have a great conversation. So without further ado, we will get rolling. Thanks for joining us today. So today I'm here with Jamie Orr. I don't think I've ever interviewed another Jamie, particularly a female. So I always love meeting other female Jamies. And I met Jamie, I'm trying to think if, I think I just was in, so Jamie's in South Tahoe. She owns part of, she's one of the owners of Tahoe Mountain Lab, and I'll let her go through the story. So I live in the Bay Area and was visiting Heavenly, I think, for a ski weekend and stopped by for a tour and got to meet her and thought her story was great. She has a number of kind of things we, you know, talk about in the industry. She owns the building that she's running the space in, and she's in, is it South Tahoe City? Is that technically?
It's a city of South Lake Tahoe.
City of, okay. And it's about 20,000 people.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Do you call it a, is it a resort town? Mm-hmm. Is that like?
Absolutely a resort town.
Okay. So just, yeah, kind of a number of interesting factors that people are always kind of, you know, talking about and trying to figure out in the co-working world. And she's a beautiful space. And speaking of beautiful, she now has two beautiful little girls, a 7-week-old. So she's awesome for making the time today to chat. So she's two girls, Annika, and actually I had my daughter with me. So they got to play a little bit while we did our tour.
We had a great
back in April.
Yeah,
but you've also done some, you've done some really interesting things. You have a partnership with Heavenly where you have a second location. So I'm super excited to share your story. I have a couple of folks in my flight groups that are looking at buying buildings and figuring that all out. And I thought I need to get you
on a podcast so that you can tell your story. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do it.
Yeah. So tell us, so that I don't get the details wrong, kind of your background, you know, what you were working on. You were living in the Bay Area, and then you and your husband made a transition, and you ended up with this co-working space with another couple, which is also an interesting story. So yeah, tell us in your words, your background and how you get into co-working.
Sure. So definitely fell into co-working. My background's actually, I have a PhD in theoretical physics. So I was actually teaching as a college professor in the Bay Area. My husband was in the what we call the startup hamster wheel. It's a very similar story that a lot of people share that are involved in co-working or use co-working spaces. And he was working mostly in early stage startups as kind of the first sales guy that would come in, so kind of VP of sales type. And so we were both doing our thing in Silicon Valley, loving it, but not loving it enough, I guess. So, you know, it's difficult. You know, Jamie, you're down in Palo Alto. We were in Mountain View. It's a lot of,
yeah, there were some trade-offs for sure.
Right. And we were spending a lot of time in Tahoe, and we had some friends in Tahoe that kept encouraging us to not leave. We just hit a point. David had gone through an acquisition. One of the companies he worked for was acquired by Walmart Labs, and he was looking at kind of the next step. I was working on some grants and some really cool research projects at NASA Ames, but it wasn't quite sticking. And I actually had started working more with like clean tech startups and getting to be familiar with companies in that entrepreneurial sphere and really enjoying it. So we started brainstorming how we could combine our skills and move to Tahoe. And so pretty much within about a month,
mine at night. Okay.
Yeah. We just did it. Yeah. We literally dropped everything. And like a month later we were living full time in South Lake Tahoe. I had been looking at kind of institute models or incubator models to see if I could continue to work with these, you know, clean tech or sustainability focused startups and being able to use, you know, David's skills in sales to do that. And when we landed in South Lake Tahoe, we started, you know, pounding the pavement, going to the Chamber of Commerce, talking to as many people as we could. And we realized that there wasn't a really cohesive entrepreneurial scene in South Lake Tahoe, which isn't surprising for a small town, mountain town, resort town. So co-working was really where we landed in order to start building that entrepreneurial system within the city. And Dave had worked out of the AOL's co-working space on Sand Hill, and so was familiar with the model. And so we looked at that as a real way to kick off kind of what we thought would be a bigger movement. And so that's how I landed in co-working. And we opened a small space in March of 2014. So we're going to be coming up on our 4-year anniversary just to test it out. And that's the birth of Tahoe Mountain Lab.
Although small, not super small. We are 10,000 square feet.
Our initial space was only about 1,200 square feet.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So we had about a dozen desks. We had one little conference room.
But only...
No, it was in a different location entirely. We were renting a space actually closer to Heavenly Resort on what's called Ski Run Boulevard.
Okay.
And so we had, just one story to start and literally 12 desks, a tiny little phone booth that we built out, and really gross carpet.
Right. But you're not going to replace because it's a short lease.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But you had enough demand and enough sort of momentum in the community that you said, this is going to work.
It quickly became a proof of concept that worked. And that's, we really started looking at how we were going to make the model financially viable and also grow it to what the demand actually was asking for.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it not being about space and being about the community, but the community needs a place to make community.
Yes.
And it's interesting. I mean, even when I was in Chicago, Chicago had such a small entrepreneurial scene. And then they opened 1871, which is an incubator, and it's partly funded by the state. And it's amazing when you create a place where those things can happen and people can come together, how quickly sort of the community gets behind that.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, we talk so much about remote work and kind of a virtual office landscape, but you really do still need that brick and mortar to create that cohesive place for that society and that community to be seen by even the broader community or even people that are within that remote workforce.
Yeah. And I think even in smaller communities, people always talk about, is it viable? Because 20,000 people, you know, is there enough demand? Is there how big of a space can you support? But I also think it's really neat. And one of my other episodes is Mara Hauser, who's outside of Chicago. And one of her spaces is well outside of Chicago. But she talks about how, you know, members will not leave generally because they're part of the community. They, you know, their kids go to school with each other. It's like there's so much stickiness with being sort of part of, you know, your people.
Absolutely. And we definitely see that in South Lake Tahoe. It's a very tight-knit community. You know, you really do end up developing relationships within the co-working space. And it's, I actually wrote a blog piece right before we moved and acquired our 11,000 square foot building and really grew that, you know, the goal that we had was not only to create a co-working space where people could work, but also to really create a modern community center. Yeah. And so taking that model outside of co-working and supporting things like the arts and supporting nonprofits and using it for continuing education and really creating a bigger space than just desks and private offices.
Yeah. So tell us about the transition from the 1200 square foot, let's test this out, to buy a building and with another couple.
It was terrifying because that was definitely a big leap. But we did feel like we had a good enough community within our test space and enough momentum with the community behind us that it was something we wanted to pursue. And there was a redevelopment area in town that was this like Harrison Avenue business district. You know, it had just gotten a really beautiful facelift through a public-private partnership, some cityscaping, and it was kind of cool turning into this cool little hub within our little city. And along that street is the old newspaper building, and the newspaper, the Tribune, was still there, but they had largely scaled back operations. They used to have all their printing being done there. So they had a huge warehouse plus this huge office space for all of their employees, but they only had about 10 people in this 11,000 square foot building anymore. And so our friend and commercial real estate agent said, guys, you just got to look at this building. You know, he grew up in town. He's like, this has always been one of my favorite buildings, and I think you could do something with it. So we walked through and realized that maybe he wasn't crazy. And what we needed to do, though, is really figure out if we could renovate it because it needed to be gutted. And so we brought in another friend and neighbor of ours, Bernard Cregan, who was a general contractor, and said, hey, would you just take a look at this building, give us your idea, you know, kind of bid it out, see what you might think we need to invest in it. And after walking it with him, he turned around and said, do you need a partner? Mm-hmm. And so he and his wife, Christy, who's an attorney, actually partnered with us, and we started this crazy journey buying the building 50-50 and fully gutting it. And we actually had our grand opening at that space 2 years, almost to the day of our initial business opening for Tahoe Mountain Lab.
So was your plan to buy, or did you sort of fall into that plan with this building?
We liked the idea of buying after honestly dealing with a landlord that wasn't great at our original space and a lot of stress around that. And also just in terms of financial viability, the margins that we were going to be able to get purchasing and leasing out a building, we couldn't match that renting from someone else that owned it. So really owning was going to be a good investment strategy for us. It also really proved to the community that we wanted to do what we said we were going to do, that we weren't just talking, that we were action oriented. So that actually, I think, solidified things for the local community for us as well.
You know, really all in.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely all in. I think again, the financial viability, the price per square foot that we pay as a result of owning the building is so much lower than anything we could get renting out someone else's space.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. I'm just eyeballing my list of questions here. I mean, the population 21,000, so you did a smaller space and you kind of proved out demand and then went with the bigger space. So in terms of moving into a bigger space and actually owning the building, I mean, we talked about kind of the positives on the financial model side. What are some surprises that you've had? And is there any advice you would give someone kind of thinking about the trade-offs of buying and leasing?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny. One of the surprises we've had is it's actually done better than we expected. So that's a really big positive. We tried to be very conservative in our estimates before going all in on a building like this. You know, it was definitely
occupancy rate and
yeah. We are lucky in that the newspaper decided to stay. So not only did they sell us the building, they are actually leasing back space. So having an anchor tenant was huge for us. And that was fortuitous. We didn't plan that. We certainly were hoping for it. So, you know, keeping an eye out on those kinds of anchor tenants that can really stabilize your cash flow. And I think we were worried that the co-working model itself, because, you know, especially being in a resort town, we do see seasonal variability. You know, we have highs in the summer and the winter when the snow's good. But then we do have the shoulder seasons like every other business. And so making sure that we had enough private offices with traditional 1-year leases and using that to, again, kind of smooth out the other variations was good. And then surprising, not only financially that it's done well, but that it has become that community center in a way that I don't think we could have anticipated, you know, and it's neat to see because we now have community members that are running their own events. You know, they really find ownership in it. We have a lot of government officials that use it for official meetings. We have representatives from the community colleges that come up and want to do workshops with us because they want to see our space. We had the entire team of superintendents from the school district from the entire county come and use the space because they want to just see what it's like. And the energy that's been created, I think, is something that is really amazing. So, you know, and it's been a lot of hard work. There's things that you don't expect to do, like having to clean urinal cakes out of the men's bathroom, which my husband and Bernard do. Luckily, they don't make us go in and do it. But, you know, it's those types of things.
On the building, the bathroom, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's, you know, you really do wear a lot more hats than you expect. And so making sure that you're ready to wear those hats, I think, is really important.
And you mentioned when we got on the call, since you and your husband are on leave, that the other couple is managing the space and you don't have any employees. So you're a self-managed entity.
That's correct. Yeah. And we're lucky enough that the four of us have a good skill set. So, you know, I have a pretty unique background in academia, but also, you know, in terms of developing programs and community building. My husband has the sales acumen and we have the attorney, we have the general contractor.
Right. Got the handyman.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, we do have that advantage that I know a lot of other, a lot of other folks might not have, but I mean, in terms of kind of picking your team, whether they're your partners or they are on your payroll is something you definitely need to be very careful about. And we definitely have a really nice blend of that.
So do you each still maintain part of your sort of previous life careers in addition to doing this?
A little bit, yeah. So I certainly, I do quite a bit of consulting around kind of educational things around like design thinking, because I used to do a lot of work in what's called complex adaptive systems in physics. And so that applies a lot to, it actually applies a lot to business and a lot to, you know, entrepreneurship and try it, and all, like the design thinking thing, like I said. So I'm enjoying that. I do a lot of public speaking, which is really fun. My husband and I sometimes will consult in economic development. You know, Christy still does some legal stuff. She also works with a lot of nonprofits and sits on some boards. And then Bernard still does his general contracting. Although this allows us to also get to pick and choose which contracts we take, because we do also get to run this business and have that as well to help stabilize our own lives, which is great.
Yeah, that is, it's great. You're building a unique life. So you've got this, so you moved from 1200 square feet into 11,000 square feet. Talk about the product mix in the space and how you mentioned you knew private offices would be important. Sounds like you do your long commitments to make sure you kind of smooth out the variability of the co-working. But, and I remember from being there, and it sounds like, you know, meeting space is kind of a core part of your offering, and you had a nice, really big I don't know how many seats it has, but yeah, tell us a little bit more about what your product mix looks like.
Sure. So we have, you know, we have the one anchor tenant, that's the newspaper. And so they have about, I want to say about 2,500 square feet in kind of a very traditional office. So they have their own public entrance for people that come in for the newspaper. They have, you know, offices, they have their own conference room. What they do share though, is they share the lobby, the common areas, the bathrooms with the main space. We then have 24 other private offices, as well as I think we're up to just over 30 co-working desks in the main desk area. And then we have our 49 person conference room. We have three additional small meeting rooms that can seat anywhere from, we have a phone booth to like 4 to 6 people in the other small meeting rooms, like the breakout rooms that mostly the coworkers use. And then we also have a large lobby as well.
I'm remembering now that you described more. The lobby is fantastic because you walk in, it's got community seating and things right there, and you get the coffee and the tea, and great, the lots of light, the big windows in the front.
Right. And we've actually started doing artist rotations. So we have a lot of really great artwork that's been coming through there. And it's a great evening event space. So quite a few people. We just did a startup weekend in November, like about 2 weeks before I ended up giving birth.
Oh, gosh.
So that was hectic, but it was a great use of the space.
Right. And again, something that would not have happened otherwise.
Correct.
Where you are, because there's no space. And then your 40 person meeting room, that's what I was remembering too, which is a great flexible space.
Yeah, it's a really nice classroom size meeting space, and, you know, fully decked out AV.
And then I'm also remembering your phone booth and how I was desperate to know what was on your walls, because it was recycled denim. Is that
it was recycled denim batting. And so they, yeah, into about, I want to say like it's 3 inches thick, and then you just put it on the wall. So it's really soft. So you can actually sit there, and if you ever, if you're having a stressful call, you can kind of just bang the wall. bang your head at
acoustics, the sound absorption.
Yes. And so we have that in the lobby too. And it's been great.
I'll have to Google it. And then you had a sister that does, I'm trying to remember, she found it for you, right?
Actually, there's a local sound engineer that found that for us.
Okay.
Most of the furniture though, my sister does work for IKEA. So
maybe that was what I heard.
We were cheating a little bit on that, because she was able to tell us what was going to be, you know, what was going to hold up to commercial use or not, and what things matched. So that was a nice benefit when we were designing the space.
We should get that list from her. I would put that in the plus column for sure for getting somebody professional to help with phone booths though, because it was appealing. It was visually appealing and, you know, obviously acoustically superior to just putting up a drywall and hoping for the best, which is
absolutely awesome. Yeah. We also used Quiet Rock, which is, you know, it's a pretty good drywall solution. You know, it's much thinner than traditional drywall, but it's about the same dampening as like 16 sheets or something ridiculous. But you still need a little more.
What is it called?
Quiet Rock.
Quiet Rock. Okay.
It's great for if anyone's doing build outs of private offices, it's a great product to look at.
Yeah. I'm making notes, and I'll put these notes in the show notes. Okay. So then at some point you developed a location at Heavenly Mountain. So, which is really neat. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So one thing that is really important to us is that we keep moving and shaking, and we don't just stay satisfied with where we're at. So we actually had the opportunity to create the world's first truly ski in, ski out co-working space. And so it is in partnership with Heavenly Mountain Resort, which is owned by Vail. And we have about 800 square feet in one of their on-mountain lodges. So you actually have to take either a ski lift or you can take a tram in order to get to it. And it's been really popular. We had a huge year last year in terms of snowfall. This year's not great. We're still doing snow dances. But we did open that up last year. It's been great for PR. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a really fun partnership. And it is a really nice space to work out of if you've got good snowfall. It does make it hard to work, but you also, you know, you just want to make sure that you can get your one or two meetings that have to happen at certain times done. And it doesn't cut into your skiing time because you're already on the mountain. You can put your laptop in a locker and you're literally at the top of one of the most awesome Black Diamond runs right there. And you can like go off onto the entire California side of Heavenly, you know, just by stepping outside. So it's been a huge benefit to our members as well as the visitors that are looking to not have to take those conference calls in their hotel room.
Yeah. And for anyone who's not familiar, I mean, Heavenly is a world-class ski resort. I mean, it's in South Tahoe and it's owned by the Vail Epic system, and it's gorgeous. That's amazing. So do you have to have a lift pass to get into the co-working space, or can you?
You do. Okay. Yes. Yeah. You have to have a lift pass with Heavenly in order to, so you have to have a membership to both. So you can drop in and use a day pass to our space, but you at least have to have a season pass or a lift ticket.
Yeah. Got it. So does the Mountain put it in their marketing materials?
Yep. Yeah. We have our own page on their website, and they've done a couple great little video shorts about it. And we've done some interviews, and we got into Powder Magazine in December, which was really exciting. And since then, Mammoth Mountain has followed suit, and the actual Mammoth Mountain Resort is managing their space. They have a small space, I think, at their Mid-Mountain Lodge, as well as an in-town location. And it's a trend that we really do hope to see more of, because it really helps you take breaks out of your workday and maximize the fun while still getting work done. I don't think it means that you're a workaholic. It just means that you actually know how to be a little more efficient.
Totally. And you're just a little flexible. To your point, like the couple of calls that, like, if you're, you know, when you're trying to schedule a meeting with five people and you're the guy that wants to ski that day,
right?
Then you can say yes and nobody needs to know. So are there phone booths, or is it just kind of a more of an open plan?
It's an open plan, but it's typically, you know, it's if you're just doing a conference call or you need to hammer out some emails, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it is a private locked space though. So people that are just going to be using the lodge to go to the bar or the ski school group that comes in don't have access to the space. It is key coded. And like I said, once you're inside the space, there's also lockers that you can just pop your laptop in, so you don't have to take that with you on the lift. Although commuting down with your backpack on is pretty cool.
Right. On your skis, you mean?
Yes. On your skis at the end of the day.
So I assume it's not staffed.
It is not staffed. No.
Yeah. Coffee?
It's inside a lodge. So there's a full cafeteria and full bar just outside.
Yeah. That's amazing. So just structurally, so it's your brand, but you don't have to staff it. Is there a revenue share? Is there, without giving away your secret sauce?
It's currently a pilot, so we'll be kind of looking at that. So as of right now, we're just piloting it with the resort to see kind of what it looks like and if it takes off or not.
Yeah.
And so we're just having fun.
And then you'll put one at North Star, which I can't wait for.
We have talked to them, and we are definitely setting our sights on some additional locations.
Awesome. And or somewhere else in Truckee.
We would also like to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you have a typical profile of a member, but I'm really curious because you have, right, seasonal users, but you have offices that are, yeah. So tell us, like, kind of what's a typical or atypical member look like for you?
I think one thing that's consistent across pretty much all of our members is, you know, either they are visiting or living in Tahoe, which means that they have a love of the outdoors, whether that's, you know, skiing and snowboarding or rock climbing, mountain biking, boating, just coming up with family and going to the beach. So, you know, that outdoor enthusiast. But otherwise it varies pretty widely. We actually have a great gender mix. We're almost 100% gender balanced.
That is great.
The age range is anything from your traditional fresh out of college, Silicon Valley entrepreneur type that wants to rock climb instead of commute, to, you know, people that have been in Tahoe for 40 plus years and have their own little business, whether, you know, like a consulting business that they've been running, and they just like the energy of being around another mix. So we have a really great age range as well. And then it's anything from tech and like SEO and marketing, people that are just fully remote coders, to, engineering firms. We've got a B Corp that makes disposable gloves, but they're actually B Corp certified, so they're child labor free, which is really cool. So we have a cleaning company, we have a company that does wedding photography and styling, and they have a cool twist on that. So it's a really neat mix. We have like over a dozen nonprofits that use the space as well. So it's a good community. It's a lot of fun. You're always learning something new.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I took the tour, I thought, I had the moment of, I have my own space in Palo Alto,
but you could.
I would work here.
You totally can.
I could. So, yeah, I mean, I would just kind of a couple of final questions based on the experience. And you said you're 4 years in now.
Almost 4 years in. Yeah.
Yeah. What advice would you give to someone thinking about opening in a smaller market?
You got to do a lot of market research. And I think that in a smaller market, more so than somewhere, say in Silicon Valley, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, you really have to be tied in deeply to the community. So you really can't underestimate the importance of that. So whether it's through the nonprofits or through the chambers of commerce or through the city, local city government, or if there's other, you know, if there's a university or a college, being tied in with that and knowing who all the players are and really getting their buy-in is huge in terms of making sure that you can build up enough momentum to actually create your community.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine if you don't build those relationships and those pieces don't come together, then right, you're kind of on an island, and it sounds like you guys are super integrated, and it must be a lot of fun to feel like you're really part of what's happening in the community and creating the place where people come and make decisions and make business happen and build relationships. And
yeah, and it's been great. You know, we really do feel like we're giving back to the community, you know, and we have a lot to be grateful for. We do get to live in a world-class, beautiful place. And so it's important that we are also serving on nonprofit boards, and I'm on planning commission, and my husband's on a county board, and, you know, doing those things has been fun. And it's also important.
Yeah. But I would imagine rewarding in a different, yeah, in a different way than you would experience life in a different place. In a
bigger Absolutely.
Place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about this, I think, when I was visiting, you know, it's a way also to allow professionals in a smaller community to find each other and to come together. And, you know, it's one of the things you think about when you move to a smaller place. Like, my first question is, when's the Whole Foods moving in? And then...
this year.
No, really?
Yeah, we're getting one about a mile away from the building.
Oh boy. Now you've given me something to think about.
Yeah, we're all excited. It's a really great project.
Right. I mean, yeah. It is only 20,000 people.
Yes. Yep. And they Whole Foods has decided to come in.
Okay. Wow. Anyway, right. In addition to the Whole Foods is the people, right? Like, how do you find your people when you move to a smaller mm-hmm. community, and you're creating a great way for people to do that. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's a place to anchor yourself and really get to know people and find out what's going on in the community and where you can tie yourself in even deeper. And we have seen a lot of people that have just in the past year have actually come in and said, "Hey, you know, I met you on a ski lift last year, and you told me all about your space, and we decided to move, and now they're working out of the space."
you really are changing lives in ways, right? Not just work lives, but live lives. So what's next for Tahoe Mountain Lab? I mean, you're, you know, kind of adjusting to new family, and you mentioned the experiment with Heavenly. What's kind of on the horizon?
We feel very strongly that mountain co-working, and, you know, there's actually we have a mountain co-working alliance of over a dozen spaces that are in mountain towns like ours. So, you know, you've got, you know, Revelstoke and Breckenridge and Frisco and even Chamonix and Verbier, opening these co-working spaces. And we think that there's something there in terms of choosing that type of lifestyle if it works for you and really supporting that. And so I think what's kind of next for us is to really see if there's other ways that we can further that movement. And if that means expanding our brand, I'd love to see that. You know, obviously we'd probably look kind of close to home first and look to see if there's expansions we can do in the kind of greater Tahoe region. And yeah, just continue having fun and getting out there and skiing as much as the snow allows and enjoying our created life that we have up here.
Awesome. Good for you. And did you get a little bit of snow this week?
No, we didn't. We got rain. Well, there's top third of the mountain has gotten a little bit.
That must be what I saw in the ski report.
Yeah. Yeah, a few inches.
Inches of rain the other day, and I thought, oh, they've got to be getting some.
Yeah, we have nothing at lake level.
Oh boy.
But the top of the mountain did get, I think, was something like 6 to 8 inches, so we're hopeful that we'll have a much better, you know, February and March.
Yeah, it needs to cool down.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing the snow dance for you. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. It's a unique story, and sharing your insights from your journey. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.